Praise God. It's another good morning that God has given us to listen to his word. And I trust that God is keeping you, watching over your life and protecting you. You know, when we look at one of the key verses in 2 Timothy 3 verse 16, it tells us that all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, for training, for correcting in righteousness, that the man of God may be equipped for every good work. And each day as we sit at the feet of Jesus to listen to the word of God, we know that every scripture is written by him. It is inspired by him. It has a purpose to accomplish. And God has always said that his word does not go out from him and come back empty. And I know that this morning, even as his word comes to you, it will accomplish that which God sent it to do. It shall accomplish that which God has purposed. Do not ask yourself why things have delayed. Do not ask yourself why are we in trouble? Why is this happening? But know that there is a word that is above it all. There is a word that speaks life to you. There is a word that is able to bring you into deliverance. There is a word of God that is in charge for your destiny. And indeed, God is not a man to lie, not a son of man to change his mind. He does not speak something and fail to see it. And God reminds us that he is watching his word to see that it is fulfilled. God is watching. If there's something that God has established himself, is that his word is his bond, and that which he has purposed will come to pass. And we have been looking at the life of Paul. And today we're in the book of Acts chapter 20, and we have seen that he has just encountered the riot at Ephesus. There was significant opposition. This opposition was brought up by this man, Demetrius, who was a metal worker. He was one who had made idols of the goddess Diana. Diana was the goddess of the Ephesus, and they called her, they thought of Ephesus as the gate of the goddess Diana, and they would have all these idols. But you see, Paul had been sent by God, and this time God had allowed him to go to Asia, and for 2 years he had taught in the temple, in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. You know, after he had gone to the synagogue and they failed they opposed him, so he found his 12 disciples. Remember, the ones whom he had laid his hands on, and they received the Holy Spirit. He's then takes them to the lecture hall of Tyrannus, and for 2.5 years, I believe, he was able to preach to them, teach them, until the word of God says, until all of Asia heard the word of the Lord, and God worked mighty miracles, extraordinary miracles in the life of Paul, that even handkerchiefs that had touched him, handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him, that were able to be taken to the sick people, and the sick people were healed. Then also there were all those that had practiced witchcraft. They brought in their books and their spells and every of their paraphernalia, and all these were burnt. That means there was a great, great harvest for the kingdom of God. But you see, those that lost their business, those that were affected, those that chose the prosperity, the earthly prosperity of their own stomachs as opposed to their heavenly prosperity, they felt that their businesses were affected, and he gathered all the other metal workers and told them, this Paul that has been preaching here has destroyed our business. And not only has he destroyed our business, he has also desecrated our gods by teaching men that, you know, that these gods that are idols are not but gods. And so we need to cause a chaos. And so they looked for him, but then they found Jason, who was one of the people who had hosted Paul, and they dragged him and they caused commotion. And it was such a commotion, but eventually they were kicked out of the commotion. But now you see, it's an opportunity that now Paul realizes he has to leave, because the believers urge him to leave. And this is one thing that you need to know. Jesus always promised us that if you go to a city and they reject you, it is fine. Wipe off the dust of your feet and go to the next. And this is something that we see about the life of Paul. He, being an apostle, was available to be used by God. He says that his greatest desire was always to preach in lands that are not known, in new territory, so that he does not lay on any other man's foundation, but he wants to lay on his own foundation. But the foundation, of course, is Christ, and he always longs to go to new places and to reach out, to spread the gospel. And that is why he has that up. He is an apostle and is considered an apostle. Now, when we see his ministry now after leaving Ephesus, is that he now goes to Greece, and we're going to see some of his ministry in Greece, and then in Troas and Miletus, and then maybe we'll see how far we can go, and then we might be able to carry on tomorrow. Let's read Acts chapter 20. We're going to read verse 1. The Bible says, after the uproar had ceased, Paul called the disciples to himself, embraced them, and departed to go to Macedonia. Now, when he had gone over that region and encouraged them with many words, he came to Greece and stayed 3 months. And when the Jews plotted against him as he was about to sail to Syria, he returned through Macedonia. And Sopater of Berea accompanied him to Asia. Also Aristarchus and Secundus of the Thessalonians, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timothy, and Tychius, and Trophimus of Asia. This man, going ahead, waited for us at Troas, but we sailed away from Philippi after the days of the unleavened bread, and in 5 days joined them at Troas, where we stayed 7 days. So what we see is that Paul, when he knew that he needed to go, so he embraced the leaders, and then he decided to go to Macedonia. But you see, he learned of a plot. And when he learned of the plot of this, the Jews, he decided to change. He was about to sail to Syria, so he changed his route to go through Macedonia. And this is the wisdom of God. You know, God desires that we stay alive. In as much as there is conflict, in as much as there is persecution, you're more helpful on the earth. And if by any means you can stay alive, it is necessary, because you're more helpful on this side. But if by any means you are not able to, then it is well you go to the presence of your Father. Now, the Bible tells us that he was able to change route by wisdom, and he sailed over. And you can see this man, all from these churches who accompanied him. You can see Sopater of Berea. Remember, the Bereans were more noble than the others. Accompanied Aristarchus and Secundus of Thessalonians. That is Thessalonica, where he had established a ministry just for 3 weeks. Think of Gaius and Derbe. Derbe, the places where he was beaten to death, you know, stoned to death, and where even the believers had to gather around him so that he can resurrect. Think of Timothy, whom he has to pick. He was spoken well of, and he circumcised him. Look at Tychicus and Trophimus of Asia, the place where he was previously forbidden by the Holy Spirit to go, but now he was allowed. All these are men that worked with him. And one of the things that we see about the apostolic is that there's always a council, there's always a brotherhood, there's always that company, the apostolic company, that by which these men went and spread the gospel together. Yes, there was the leader, there was the chief speaker, but it made sense to go together. And that's why Paul constantly says, me and our companions, we sailed from this place. We sailed from this place. We were tempted even to the point of despair, because in these moments, it is necessary to not be a lone ranger. Satan targets lone rangers and is able to bring them down because they don't have the support. I tell you, if you start to pray and you are too praying, you will be find that you can pray even longer. Why? Because there's an accountability. Indeed, two cannot walk together unless they agree. God has established that there is a greater blessing when two
walk together, when two are hand in hand, when two pray together, when two are in combined ministry together. Why? Because when two, the power of two always leads to multiplication. One can chase 1,000, but two chase 10,000. And so the multiplication factor is even greater when we walk in accountability together, in ministry together, in missions together, and by this we are able to spread the gospel. Verse 7. Now, on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. There were many lamps in the upper room where they were gathered, and in a window sat a certain young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep. He was overcome by sleep, and as Paul continued speaking, he fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. But Paul went down, fell on him, and embracing him, said, "Do not trouble yourselves, for his life is in him." Now when he had come up, had broken bread and eaten, talked a long while, even till daybreak, he departed, and they brought the young man in alive, and they were not a little comforted. I want us to look at this interesting short account of this young man called Eutychus. Eutychus is, you know, Paul is preaching, and because he knows he needs to depart the next day, he preaches and preaches and preaches until it is even midnight. You can imagine it was dark, and there were many lamps in the upper room where they were gathered. There were all these lights, but you see, there's a young man who, I'm sure he started to feel sleepy. And where is the best place for him to go? He has to go to the window so that he can be beaten by the wind. But that was the wrong place, because he goes there and the Bible says he starts to sink into a deep sleep. And as he sinks into a deep sleep, then eventually he sleeps. And he sleeps, what happens? He falls. You can imagine what people would have thought. What is this? What is this? Why should someone have to die in your ministry, in your mission? What will people say? Maybe you're a false prophet. Maybe that is a sacrifice that is needed. But you see, one of the things about God is that God knows his people. He knows those whom he has called. So Eutychus goes into a deep sleep and eventually falls. And he falls from the third story. You know, when I think of this fall, you think of how many people even fall from one floor and they die. How many people? Now, this man fell from the third floor, and the Bible says he was dead. He was taken up dead. But what does Paul do? Paul goes, embraces him, hugs him, releases the life of God in this man. And when the life of God is released into this man, Eutychus, he says, "It is well." He says, "It is well. Do not trouble yourself, for his life is in him." Then he goes back. He breaks bread. And he talked a long while, even till daybreak. Can you imagine? This man was having an overnight of the word of God. You know, we often think of, you know, of keshas. Keshas are just, you know, prayer night, overnight prayers. But Paul was having an overnight preaching of the word of God. How much insight and how much revelation and how much teaching was he giving that he felt it is necessary to go the whole night? But you see, that is why one of the things that Paul says, that every time I was with you, I did not hesitate to give you the full counsel, to teach the full counsel. And we will see that maybe a few more verses onwards. And
I love how they did not bring him up immediately. Let the guy continue sleeping. He's alive. Because, well, if the word is not for you, it's not for you. But those that the word is for them will hear the word of God. My sheep hear my voice. So he broke bread. He talked a long while, even till daybreak. Then he departed. The Bible says, and they brought in the young man in alive, and they were a little comforted. Now, verse 13, the Bible says, then we went ahead to the ship and sailed to Assos, and there, intending to take Paul on board, for he had given orders, intending to himself to go on foot. And when he met us at Assos, we took him on board and came to Mytilene. We sailed from there, and the next day, opposite Chios. The following day, we arrived at Samos and stayed at Trogyllium. The next day, we came to Miletus, for Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus so that he would not have to spend time in Asia, for he was hurrying to be at Jerusalem, if possible, on the day of Pentecost. Remember, he had just taken the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, and he was targeting to reach there in 50 days by the day of Pentecost. Verse 17. From Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, you know from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility and with many tears and trials which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews, how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed to it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house. He says, I held nothing. I taught you everything and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to the Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem. That means he's compelled in the Spirit. He knows that it is the will of God. He needs to go to Jerusalem. And he says, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with the joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Look at the conviction of Paul. He's saying that, I'm going to Jerusalem. I don't know what awaits me, but what I know, the Holy Spirit bears witness in my spirit that in every city, chains and tribulations await me. If you tell someone that, yes, welcome to the gospel, do you know what? For you, it is just chains and tribulations that will await you. How many are willing? How many are willing to accept that gospel today? But you see, Paul says, God has placed us as apostles, as those who, you know, are behind the procession, where we come in last, where others are being made rich. We have the capacity to make people rich, yet we ourselves are poor, yet we ourselves are crying, are naked, are in tears. But there is a greater reward that far outweighs any earthly reward. And this is what the prize that he keeps looking forward to. And that's why he says, I fix my eyes on the prize, not looking behind. He knows that there is something that is greater than what he can see. Verse 25, and he says, and indeed now I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more. Verse 26, therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. I think for today I will pause here, but I just want to, let's just look at that word. I have not hesitated to declare to you the whole counsel of God. That means that it is possible and it is a required that every ministry that you are in, where you are taught the word of God, in a span of 3 years, it is a requirement that you need to have been taught the whole counsel of God. You need to have known, you know, each and everything that concerns the gospel. My prayer for you is that God will keep you. God will sustain you. God will give you a conviction like this man, to know the full counsel, to know, to be innocent of the blood of men, to have a heart for missions, to have a heart to go each and every direction, each and every place, to demonstrate the manifest power of God, to demonstrate the power of God. And God is willing. God is in the missions. God's heart is in missions. God's heart is in the harvest. He says the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. I pray that you may be available to be used by God for His glory. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for speaking to us, for giving us this life of Paul, a servant that you have used mightily, a servant that you use for your glory, that by his example we can be challenged to spread the word, to apply wisdom in our movements, to move us by your guidance, to be directed by you, to be touched by you. May we experience your grace. May we experience your truth. May we experience your love, O God. Guide us, direct us, and keep us. We honor you. We adore you. We magnify you. Be our shield. Be our portion. Be our all in all. May your name be exalted and be magnified. In Jesus' name we pray and believe. Amen. Shalom. And have a blessed, blessed day.